The sermon title today is 12 Conversions Are Too Few. Now we continue in this series on dealing with change. There are two scripture readings. Both are stories, bedrock stories throughout the Old Testament that are told. We learn one of them today from the letter of Hebrews, or learn about Moses. But the first one is the call of Abram. And so listen as I read God's word from Genesis chapter 12, the first five verses of that great story. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai and his brother's son Lot, and all the possessions they had gathered, and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran, and they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. And then the second reading is from the letter of Hebrews. We learn here about the faith of Moses and this great turning point that came to him in his life when he changed. Chapter 11, beginning at verse 24. "By faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered abuse suffered for the Christ to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, unafraid of the king's anger, for he persevered as though he saw him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel." Let us bow in silence as we come to the message this morning. O Lord, now quiet within us any voice but your own, so that by the reading of your word and the proclaiming of it, we might hear your wisdom in the paths that we choose to follow. In Christ's name, amen. Well, today is the second sermon on this theme of dealing with change. We affirmed last week, at least I affirmed it, I don't like change. I don't know about you. I generally don't like it. Many people do not. It can be, if it comes in buckets, it can be intimidating. It can even be threatening. It is often, I find, a time of uncertainty when we don't know what to do next. We're seeking to be aware of what to do. We're seeking perhaps the wisdom of God. But it is during such times of change, that things are unpredictable. Unpredictable. I was sharing this point of how I feel about change last week with my younger brother Danny in Tennessee. And he reminded me of a riddle. You may not like it, but I'm going to tell it. He reminded me of the riddle of how many Presbyterians it takes to change a light bulb. And I said, "Well, how many?" And he said, "Well, Presbyterians would shout, change, what's that?" The second answer that I've heard before is the same. How many does it take? The answer is none again. Because Presbyterians believe that lights go on and off at a predestined time. That's an inside joke for those who are Lutherans. We'll come to the Lutherans later in the message this morning. Well, we also reflected last week. It was Labor Day weekend, and we thought and reflected and noted all the change that had taken place and how people work over the last couple of years, especially with the coronavirus pandemic. We talked about the great resignation, the rewriting of job descriptions, people working remotely, and now coming back to offices across the nation. And we talked about how this has been experienced in the church, not just here, but around the world. And we confirmed together out of that, that in a dynamic world of change we live in, we need that which is eternal. We long for that. It is my belief, perhaps yours, that inside each one of us is a hole that is God-shaped, and no one else can occupy that space adequately enough except the one who is eternal. We need, in other words, we said, a North Star to guide us. We need a rock on which to stand, a solid rock in this world filled with change. That was last Sunday. I like what someone said about Queen Elizabeth this past week. They'll be remembering her for some time in the coming days, and I'm sure in years to come. But they said, one reporter said she would be remembered for her constancy. Her constancy. I think that's true. And then another said, for 70 years, the people of Great Britain leaned upon her, for she was a rock for them. And I thought, well, that's the human example of our need for our eternal God, our rock, our light, our constancy, our constant companion, especially in a world of change. That's what we need. That's what all people need. But today we turn to another issue about change. Really, it is a question. And the question is, can you and I really change? Can we? Is it important that we change? Can we change? It seems like we come to God each week, oftentimes bringing the same issues, in a sense, the same sins, week after week, month after month. We go through each year, we make resolutions at the beginning of the year, and how many times we fail to keep them. It is often hard to keep a commitment, to be steady in one's faith, and to seek to grow and to change and to become new, more and more like Christ. We are hard people, are we not, to change, and it is difficult to keep new commitments. There's a very cynical proverb that I've heard some people use over the years. They sometimes say it casually, but it's true, but it's cynical. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. And the point, of course, is that we get set in our ways. And that includes you as the choir, right? We all get set in our ways. We have a wonderful choir, and they're always changing and growing, and I'm just so proud of all of them. We have a wonderful music program. But it has not been the same over the years. It continues to change, just like the church, to need new people, new visions to go forward. But the point I'm making is we can always be better than we are. We can change. We can grow. We have heard the saying before, have we not? You can't change human behavior. We've said that so often, we believe it. That change is not possible, but it is. Think with me for a moment. All education, even in the church, all counseling that's provided to people, even our Christian faith, it is all grounded in the belief that human nature can be made better. It can change. It can grow and become and be made new. Praise be to God, it can. We can become radically new. We can choose to go in a different direction if we're headed down the wrong road. That's a choice that God has given us. God calls us, just like in the stories we read this morning, the two great stories of Abram and Moses. Well, Over the years, I've enjoyed listening on the radio when it was on, Garrison Keillor. I tremendously have enjoyed his dry humor over the years. And he tells in that dry humor of a Midwestern Lutheran church, and in it, a man named Larry Sorensen. Larry was back home, it seemed, for the summer holidays, and Keillor tells the story about Larry this way. He had been saved 12 times in a Lutheran church. That's an all-time record. He goes on, between 1953 and 1961, he threw himself weeping and contrite on God's throne of grace, 12 separate occasions, no less. And this was a Lutheran church that wasn't even evangelical. It had no altar call. It did not sing for a half hour, "Just as I am," without one plea. This was a Lutheran church, not a bunch of hillbillies. These Lutherans, you know, they're Scandinavians, and they repent in the same way they sin, discreetly, tastefully, at the proper time. And if they do repent, they bring Jell-O salad afterwards. Keillor continues, Larry Sorensen, he came forward weeping buckets, and he crumbled to his knees at the communion rail. To the amazement of the minister, who knew he had preached an overly dry sermon that day. And here he had to go over at that rail and put his arm around that limp, soggy individual and pray with him. 12 times. 12 times is too many. Well, I want to argue with Garrison Keillor today. My message today is that 12 conversions are too few. They're too few. That's the problem with Larry Sorensen and with many of us. It's too few. We haven't been turned around, changed, rearranged, challenged, or transformed often enough. Oh, it doesn't have to be by some particular way or in a particular place, but we could be, we should be always growing and never getting stagnant. How sad it is when that happens to a place, especially a house of worship. Don't get stagnant. Also, don't let anyone bully you into thinking that you are stuck just like you are. Don't let anyone bully you and say you are all you are going to ever be. You cannot change. That's just not true. Abram, in the story we read this morning from Genesis, he was 75 years old. And God called Abraham to take his family and all he possessed to go from the familiar to the unfamiliar. And he did it. He listened to God's call. I'm thinking this morning about the story of Moses. Moses came to a fork in the road in his life. And the writer of Hebrews tells us that Moses gave up earthly wealth to gain, as the writer says, a heavenly kingdom. And the point is this: the decision to follow Jesus Christ is never a cheap decision. It costs something. It cost. Moses' decision, think about that. His decision must have broken the heart of the ones who loved him in Egypt, including the woman who raised him as her own son. There are stands sometimes that we will have to make as a Christian that will not always be popular. And that's true of a church as well. And so what do we say in the face of dealing with changes that come? Should we welcome change in our lives? Well, think about this as you ponder that. First, if there were no change, life would be very boring, wouldn't it? Imagine everything being the same, every person being the like, being alike. I said in the first service, can you imagine everyone being just like Gary Granada and the house broke apart? And I said to him after the service about Gary, I told him how much we loved him, and I said, Gary, there are too few of you. And there are. You should get to know Gary if you don't know him. But there are always new ideas. I find this true, to learn. There's so much to learn. And if there were no new ideas, that would not be heaven. That might be the other place, right? Learning and change is important. I like what Norman Vincent Peale once said. I was raised on his books and the Bible. But he talked about this. He said once in his writings that the only place that people can have complete peace of mind and no stress is in the local cemetery. Adventure and vitality, they lead to change. Variety is the spice of life. And Jesus coming into the life of the Jewish faith, he was a breath of fresh air, but he was not welcomed by the religious leaders at all. And when Jesus comes into your life, be very assured there is a new adventure that peaks when your new life begins at the resurrection. It begins there. You see, in Christ, there is always a new adventure. We can never be the same. And if you receive him, he will always challenge you. And I can promise you this, if you receive Jesus Christ into your life, you will never be bored. I have never been bored as a minister of a church. I can assure you of that. Secondly, if there were no change, there would not be growth. It's as simple as that. It's true of you as a person. Every once in a while, I used to hear a mother say, oh, my sweet son or daughter, when they were five, they were so cute. I wish they could have stayed five forever. Have you ever heard someone say that? If that were the case, if a child stayed 5 years old the remainder of their life, that would not be cute. That would be monstrous. Ouch, right? But let me say something to you categorically, especially as we come out of this pandemic. I know of no church that is vibrant and growing which is simply in maintenance mode, keeping everything the same or wanting to return to the way things were. Change is constant. And we would do well to welcome it, just like Abram and Moses did, even though it can be costly. I like Charlotte in that book, Charlotte's Web. That's a treasure of a book. Every time I hear that story, it reminds me of how we should be more like what the spider wrote in that web, like words, terrific, radiant. And we should be humble. And we should hope that that spider keeps writing in the web of our life the word improved. Improved. Because we all can. Ask yourself, is your understanding of your faith any different than it was 10 years ago? Is it any different than it was 20 years ago? If it isn't, perhaps you haven't been thinking and growing about the challenging teachings of Jesus Christ. Think of all the Christian experiences that we promote, even in church, about change and transforming moments and how important they are. Confession, for example, at the beginning of worship. Baptism, confirmation, conversion, just as I am, I come. Ordination. Change, listening to God's call, becoming a member of a church that's so important in this day and time to be that kind of a witness. Rededicating your life to Christ on Dedication Sunday or Christmas Eve or on any Sunday. With all of this, with all I say this morning, I have not mentioned, and I could go on and I will because next month I'm planning a stewardship series and it's coming. But I could go on about the sacrificial giving that we need to make, each one of us, and all the opportunities we have here for mission to be involved. Note with me that we are, in fact, are we not, to be all in, all hands on deck in terms of being a part of a church that's changing and growing and being flexible enough to follow Jesus Christ in all that we do. Growth in, as individuals in our faith and as a church. It's important. Well, we've come some distance this morning, and before I finish, I need to mention today the 21st anniversary of 9/11. And it is important we note from it that a single event can change your life. It changed the lives of many people. Roxanne Finio, who was the director of our preschool, she and her husband, Michael, used to live in New York. Michael worked in the Twin Towers around the 30th floor. He got out. They changed their lives and they moved to Florida, and she is now the director of our preschool and has been for the past year. And Michael is speaking this morning about his experience of 9/11 and the memories of it. I suspect there are a number of days in your life that changed your life. And I want to encourage you this afternoon or this evening or sometime this week to share that moment with someone that you know. It's important that you do that, to let people know those things that have changed your life for the better. Sometimes that happens at a church camp. I know many people who have sat around a campfire and they have held a candle and they have pledged their life to Christ. And I know some people even in this church who have made that kind of commitment at a Billy Graham crusade. Praise be to God, those opportunities are there. You know as I do, when someone you love can be in a hospital bed, sick and not well, you know how it changes you. You realize those things that are ultimately important and lasting, and they're not possessions, are they? You can be changed even at a long look at the setting of the sun on the beach. It can grasp you. It can cause you to pause and to think about your life. As I close this morning, I want you to always remember and to always live with the expectation that you can change at whatever age to become more and more like Christ. If you feel your faith this morning has become stuffy and restricting, let the winds of Christ's Spirit blow into your life. And let the peace of Christ dwell in you. Because friends, 12 conversions are just too few. Amen.